Hello. Welcome to episode 4 of the Get Organized for Life podcast series, where we talk about organization, time management, and workplace productivity, all served up in small bites because we know you're busy. I'm your host, Pat DePalma, productivity and organization specialist and owner of Organized for Life in Wilmington, Delaware. So have you ever made a New Year's resolution to get organized? Well, I'm going to go with a yes on that for many of you because, of course, year after year, it's one of the top two or three New Year's resolutions. It makes sense, right? New year, new start, and all of that. But truthfully, there's nothing magical about January 1st. If you've made and broken your New Year's resolution to get organized again and again, that's okay. You don't need to wait until January to give it another shot. Because you see, the best time to get organized isn't at the start of the year. It's not 10 weeks from next Tuesday. It's not when I can find a week or a month with nothing else to do. The best time to get organized is before you have to. And we all know that the first step in getting organized is to declutter, to remove from our lives all of the things that no longer serve us, that don't add value to our lives, even if they did in the past. And that's not easy. So we put it off and put it off and put it off until some major event happens that forces us to finally tackle our stuff. I mean, there's nothing like a big life event to provide the motivation we need, right? You know, we're going to have a baby and we need to make room. Or we're getting married or divorced. Or we're about to move and we don't want to bring stuff with us that we no longer need or want. Or we're about to move and the realtor says, we can't show this house until you get rid of the clutter. Maybe we're getting older and we're no longer able to stay in our home. And our new home is going to be much smaller and we can't fit everything that we have in it. Or, sadly, maybe we've lost a loved one who've left behind a lot of possessions that we now have to deal with. So, whether this life event is positive or negative, it is emotional and it's often stressful. So, when you try to add a huge decluttering effort on top of that, it just compounds the stress. You know, we have a lot of emotion tied up with our stuff and having to go through all of it and trying to make decisions about what to keep and what to let go of. When we're already filled with emotions because of the event, that makes it harder. And when there's a deadline, you know, some sort of time crunch dictated by the event, and there usually is, it makes it harder still. It doesn't allow us the time we need to truly process everything, both physically and emotionally. So we end up either moving things we shouldn't and paying more for that privilege, or maybe putting things in storage temporarily until we have more time to deal with them. Which, more often than not, means never. You know, the pressure's off, we've kicked the can down the road, and the cycle of clutter continues. Or, as I see unfortunately too often with seniors who are moving to a small apartment, maybe in an extended care facility, you know, after they lived in their homes for decades and accumulated a lifetime of memories and stuff, we just have to close our eyes and get rid of almost everything. Because we have to, and we have to do it now. So we don't have the luxury of doing that emotional processing that we need to be comfortable with our decisions. So we end up feeling remorseful, guilty, and sad, which is no way to start a new phase of life. So let me tell you about two of my clients. Client number one took a new job across the country. He wasn't planning to sell his very cluttered house right away until he'd been at the new job for a couple of months to make sure he was happy out there. But he knew he still needed to do something about all of his stuff before he left town. But he really didn't want to. So he put it off, and he put it off until 5 days before he was planning to fly out west. So now he had this enormous job that he didn't really want to do, and very little time to do it in. And it was really painful for him. You know, he felt the need to look at every item in his home, and he had a terrible time releasing anything. And now client number two had moved into her parents' cluttered home that she inherited when her mom died, figuring that she'd clear out the home while she was living there. But it was overwhelming, and she had some hoarding tendencies of her own. So she tried for a while, and then eventually just gave up and just lived with the clutter for a number of years. And then she decided she didn't want to live that way anymore. I don't know exactly what prompted that change of mind, but I do think an upcoming milestone birthday was part of it. But it doesn't really matter. That's not my point. Whatever it was that caused this mind shift, she wanted to get out of this large cluttered house and move into a condo and start a new way of life without all the clutter and with new systems put in place to keep from becoming cluttered again. So she hired me to help her, and she was truly amazing. It was fascinating and somewhat surprising, to be honest, to see how easily and quickly she was able to make her decisions. We had plenty of time, and she had very few internal struggles deciding what to release and what to take with her. So what was the difference between these two clients? Well, you've probably figured out it's because of where the motivation came from. You know, we have the best chance of success with the minimum amount of pain when we're internally motivated, when we're not rushed, when we're not under pressure. I mean, think about it. How do you feel when someone or some situation is making you do something that you won't want to do and do it in a hurry? Maybe you're annoyed, resentful, pressured, resistant. But how do you feel when you're doing something you want to do that'll make your life better, that'll make you happier, that'll make your loved ones happier? You feel motivated, right? You're excited, proud, you're willing to do whatever it takes. So when we're clearing our clutter because we want to, not because we're forced to, we feel good about the process and really good about the outcome. So how do we find our internal motivation? How do we decide to clear our clutter without waiting for some external event to force us to? Well, when we were talking last week with Tammy from Get Like Coaching about how we as humans are motivated to make changes, we talked about how we don't make changes until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. So you can flip that around in a positive way. So in order to motivate ourselves, right, we want to think about the pain our clutter is causing us, but then flip it and think about how much better our lives will be without it. You know, visualize it, think about it, until that becomes something you want so badly that you are willing to do the work required. You know, think about how great will we feel when we can relax in our home, when we can have people over without being embarrassed about our clutter or rushing around and shoving things in closets to hide it. How great will we feel when we can easily find what we need when we need it without digging through overstuffed drawers or closets? How great will we feel when we know that we've eased the burden on our heirs, knowing that we won't be adding to their pain with guilt over what to do with our clutter? So again, we need to like think about and visualize, you know, what do we want our life to be? How do we want our space to look and function? What do we want our life to look like and feel like? And make a plan to get us there. Make it real, and we will be excited to do the work needed to get there because it will be worth it. Some of us can clear our clutter ourselves when we're sufficiently motivated, and some of us need some help. But either way, the investment that we make in doing this will pay huge dividends in our lives going forward. And the sooner we start, the sooner we can relax. If we give ourselves the time that we need to proactively tackle our clutter, and that's going to be different for everyone, right? Some may want to do a full court press and just keep going until it's done. Some people might want to do it a room at a time, a little bit at a time. It doesn't matter. When we give ourselves the time that we need to tackle it, we are going to feel good about the process. And we're going to feel amazing and accomplished when we're done. I hear this all the time from clients. I wish I hadn't waited so long. So when you follow that up with new systems that'll keep new clutter from accumulating, and you'll never have to go through that process again. How wonderful would that be? Think about it. You've been listening to the Get Organized for Life podcast with productivity and organization specialist Pat DePalma. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next month when we'll be talking about stress with special guest Nicole DeSorette of Inspired by Nicole. Nicole is a breast cancer thriver who has made it her mission to educate and empower women and men to combat stress at home and in the workplace to improve their health and their well-being. So we'll talk with Nicole about some causes of stress, what impact stress has on our physical and mental health, and some actions that we can take to reduce the stress in our lives. As always, if you have comments, questions, or topics you'd like us to talk about, please send them to podcast@organizedforlifedelaware.com, and we will do our best to address them on the air. And if you're ready and motivated to get more organized and productive, but you aren't making progress, it's too overwhelming, it's too boring to do alone, you don't know what to do, or even just where to start, you can learn more about how I can help you by visiting organizedforlifedelaware.com or calling 844-ORG4LIFE. That's 844-674-4255. 4543. Thanks again for listening, and have a productive day.